Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio and also on the Rapture Ready Radio Network. And I'm going to be playing my song, my program that was recorded yesterday. And I'm just going to rerun it because we were having some technical problems. So anyway, we're going to talk about Jim Baker. And, of course, we know that Jim was the former owner of the PTL ministry, which went into foreclosure after Jim went to prison. And now Jim is back, and he is running a new ministry in near Branson, Missouri, actually. So he's building another PTL type ministry. And so we're going to talk about that and find out how maybe Jim could get some biblical sense. Amen. All right, here we go. And you know that some of us that are familiar with Jim Baker from the 1980s, he had the PTL satellite television network. It was probably, at that time, I would say it was probably the biggest of all the networks. And anyway, his ministry was taking in, 50 million, 100 million a year. And Jim Baker actually was one of the founders of Christian television. He worked with Pat Robertson, and he helped to get the 700 Club off a good start. And he also worked with Jan and Paul Crouch, getting the TBN network together. Of course, that was many, many years ago, probably in the late 1970s or early 1980s. And anyway, I mean, Jim Baker, he has a brain for building and for putting together Christian television networks. But with money, with too much money, too much fame, all those things damage people eventually. And that's what happened to Jim and Tammy Baker. Well, he was married to Tammy Baker at the time. And somewhere, I think, around 1987, Jim Baker had built this theme park. It was the fourth largest theme park in the country. And it was, I guess there was Disneyland, Disney World. I don't know what the third one is, but as far as attractions that attracted people to come. But Jim Baker, his theme park, I think, was number 4 or number 3, one or the other. Anyway, that's how many millions of people would come through his park there. They had a beautiful big hotel that he built, and he built like a little town just out. It was in Fort Mill, South Carolina, and it was on the outskirts of Charlotte. So anyway, he's building this big ministry, and he's on top of the world, really. And they were doing all the seed phase scamming back then. He was having people like Mike Murdoch on there. Actually, Mike Murdoch was one of their favorites. And he wrote, his wife Tammy Faye, she was a singer. So Mike Murdoch wrote a lot of songs for Tammy. And, oh, they got into the whole prosperity thing. They bought themselves mansions and Rolls Royces and airplanes, whatever. They had so much money they didn't know what to do. But of course, they weren't getting their money honestly, because they were using these seed phase scams to get the money. And so we know that when you do something dishonest, especially when you're using the name of Jesus, eventually it catches up to you. So it caught up to Jim Baker somewhere around 1987. He was an Assembly of God minister at the time, and he was caught. Actually, he had an affair, a one-night stand, with a girl named Jessica Hahn. And Jessica, they had to pay Jessica off. So in the years after he had this affair with her, he had to pay her off. So I don't know if they were using ministry money or what money they were using, but they were paying her to shut her up, because of course Jessica, she saw that Jim and Tammy were living high life, and she knew she had this little secret. And the man that arranged this one night stand in a motel room with Jim Baker and Jessica Hahn, who came from Babylon, New York, of all places, from a church of a man named Gene Profeta, whose daughter is false prophetess, purveyor of witchcraft, Dana Muldoon. Anyway, so that's a little background on Jessica Hahn. Supposedly she said she was a Christian, but who knows? I don't think so. Because later on, after it came out that Jim had this fling with, this one-night stand with her, she posed for Playboy. She went to live at the Playboy mansion, and she claimed that Jim Baker raped her or whatever. And she probably made a few million dollars off the scandal herself. But anyway, Jessica wasn't happy with the measly $100,000 or $250,000 or whatever they paid her to shut her up. Anyway, she wasn't going away quiet. Remember, the Bible says, your sin will find you out. Well, his sin found them out in a big way. In a big way. And Jessica went to the newspapers, or the newspapers got a hold of the story, and the story broke. And it was a huge scandal. That's all they talked about. You think they talk about Trump all the time on CNN? Well, Jim Baker, that's all they talked about, was Jim Baker and his affair and their mansions and God. But I'll tell you what, it was God's judgment, because God said he had enough. He had enough of all that, enough already. And so God judged Jim Baker. And he wound up going to prison He went to prison for a federal prison. Now, he went to prison. I'm not too sure about these criminal charges that they filed against him, but something about he was building buildings and he was overselling his timeshares or whatever, but I'm not too sure about all that. I don't know exactly what he did. I personally, I don't have any proof one way or the other, and I don't know if he deserved to go to federal prison for 5 years, but he went to federal prison for 5 years. He gave his ministry, when the scandal broke, he decided, Jerry Falwell came on the scene, and Jerry Falwell pretended he was going to be a friend to Jim Baker, and he was going to take over temporarily until the scandal, you know, kind of blew over a little bit, and then Jim was going to come back and take over his ministry, but Jerry Falwell decided he wasn't giving it back to him. I'm telling you, it was a mess. And then Jerry Falwell starts holding press conferences, and Jim Baker wants his ministry back, but Jerry Falwell won't let him back, and they start cleaning out the place, and oh, I'm telling you, it was a mess. And then soon after, of course, Jim was brought up on these fraud charges, so, or whatever it was, I can't remember, but. And he went, but during the time he was in prison, actually, I did write to him somewhere toward the end of his prison term, and we were pen pals for a short time. I don't know if I have 4 or 5 letters from him. I really should have brought those letters out to read them to you, but anyway, because I liked the way he was talking at the time. He was saying that really God took the ministry away from him, and God put him in prison, and he was talking against this whole prosperity gospel. And I thought, wow, you know, he sounds like a brother. He's really telling the truth now. And then he wrote this book when he got out of prison, and he called it I Was Wrong. So anyway, I had written this newsletter in 1997. I was coming out of the Word of Faith movement, and I had written this newsletter called Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? And of course, you know, that's the name of my book that I wrote last year, or I finished writing last year. Actually, it was a few years in the works, but my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offering. So anyway, I started out with a newsletter, and I sent it out in 1997, and I sent one to Jim. And I thought for sure that I would get a response back from him about how much he liked the newsletter and how true it was about this whole seed faith scamming, and that money is not seed, and you don't have to sow seeds of money to get God to do things for you and all that. But after that, I never heard from him again. I never got one more letter from him, never heard from him again. So I was very disappointed that I didn't hear back from him, and he didn't tell me how much he loved my newsletter. Because I thought we're on the same planet now, me and Jim, you know. But anyway, he stayed out of the public eye for a while. He made a few appearances on Larry King. He did some interviews there. Tammy, his wife, divorced him while he was in prison and married supposedly one of his best friends, Ro Messner, who built PTL. He was a builder. And she wound up marrying him. And then Jim, when he was living in California at the Dream Center at the Barnett Ministry, he married this lady named Lori. And so then at the time that I heard Jim Baker on Larry King, he was saying that he's not ever going back on TV. He wasn't going to build anymore. But now Jim Baker is back. And he's building another PTL. You can see him on television building. He built condos, and he's building a barn for his studio. And just last week, or for the past 3 weeks, he's been running a telethon, of all things. He's been running a telethon, and they needed $2.5 million. Now, they needed $2.5 million in 3 weeks. Can you imagine? So what got Jim into trouble at the old PTL was the fact that he was, and I heard Tammy Faye say this, that they were always behind. They always ran about 30 days behind paying their bills, but they always knew that they could have a telethon and they could raise the money. So, of course, now you promise people that God's going to work miracles for them if they give God some money. And, the money was rolling in, $50 million, $100 million a year. And now he's doing the same thing. Now he's running behind, and he has to now resort to telethons. And a few weeks ago when I was looking at the program, he said, out of his own mouth, he said, I sell food now, because they sell a lot of these survival products and things like that. So food in buckets and whatever, water filters. So he says, I sell food now when I used to sell blessings. And he said it, and I remarked to a friend of mine, I said, wow, it came right out of Jim Baker's mouth that he admitted that he used to sell blessings. So to me, it sounded like he wasn't going to sell blessings anymore because he knew it was wrong to do that. He knew it was wrong. But yet, what did I see the past 3 weeks when I turned on his network? They were selling blessings. They were doing it. They were doing it. And I couldn't believe it. They have this fool, and this man is a fool, if there ever was one, Philip Cameron. This guy comes over here from Scotland many, many years ago, him and his family, and they decided, wow, the American church is full of people that don't know their Bible. So they've been running these seed faith scams. Oh, for probably 20 or 30 or more years, Philip Cameron, disgusting person. The reason I say disgusting person is, and I'm going to play the audio, he says that you have to sow a seed for household salvation. Didn't Jesus Christ die on the cross for our salvation? And yet this fool is telling people to send money for household salvation. I wouldn't want to be him one day and face the wrath of God. Oh, anyway, I'm going to play this clip here, and it's about six minutes, and you'll hear the fool, Philip Cameron, yourself.
When my wife and I, about 3 years ago, we got tired of living in lack. So we began to pray every day. We would get up and we'd go, we judge you faithful. We judge you faithful. We judge you faithful. When I got ready to come here, the Holy Spirit said, tell your office to bring one of the altars.
Yes.
They brought it and put it in the car. My wife thought I was crazy. You're going to drive 10 hours. I always fly. Flew 186,000 miles last year. And the Spirit of the Lord said, you got to go plant a seed, because this ground is fertile. This ground will produce a harvest. Pulling into the parking lot, I saw an army rise up out of the ground of young remnant from all over the world coming here to be trained to be revivalists. Why am I telling you that? Four things never change. Day and night, hot and cold, winter, summer, seed time and harvest. As you sow, as you judge God faithful, you're going to have miracles. At the moment you plant the seed, God's word is nothing but planting and growing. What happens? We planted an altar. It began to rain. What happens when it rains? You got to go get the farmers. But in between there, you got to plant seed. God says if you'll sow, I'll bless you. He'll blow your mind 30, 60, 100 fold. You need to know this is the season of the miraculous.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I look at my wife all the time, Philip and I just, and you know this. I'm like, give it away. Give it away. Give it away. Because you can't outgive my God.
Come on.
Watch him blow your mind. This is seed time and harvest.
When you give today, we uttered a 1 hour, $100,000 challenge. When you give today, I believe that God is going to do something supernaturally that you've been asking him to do, maybe in a sequence of time. And you're saying, God, I need this thing to happen in my life. I need my prodigal son to come home. I need something to break for me right now.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. If you have faith to give and say, I am believing God and I'm putting this into my future, I believe God is going to astonish us all.
Thank you, Jesus.
And there's an anointing here right now for God to get your family saved.
Amen.
Pat Shatzline has an anointing over young people like I've never seen in all my life. I've never met a man in my life that has an earnest passion to see unsaved loved ones and kids come to Jesus.
Yeah.
My anointing is to pray for household salvation.
Yes, it is.
And on the way there, he gave me a whole bunch of orphans to be part of my household.
Thank you.
Get up right now. 888-988-1588 and say, I am going to give an earnest offering. There's a businessman watching me just now, and your kids have gone to hell in a handbasket. And all the counseling and all the money has done nothing to help them. They are so done with drugs, you don't even know what to do with them anymore.
Hallelujah.
And it's not a choice, a chance that you have to meet us today on this program. It's not just a happenstance. God has arranged this.
God.
I challenge you right now, give God an earnest money offering. Give him an earnest offering and say, this is a down payment. This is a deposit for my home being bought back out of the pit of God. In Jesus' name. Pray for salvation for our family. Pat, God's giving you a word for families.
Today as you sow, you're creating future withdrawals.
Absolutely.
I can't walk up to any bank. I just can't show up out here at a bank and say, hey, listen, I'm filling out a withdrawal slip. They're going to say, what'd you put in the account? There comes a moment. Now listen, there's an anointing for household salvation.
Yeah.
The Lord spoke to us this year, 5777 in the Hebrew calendar, the year of the crown and the sword, taking back your harvest.
Right.
Last year, we just did everything we could to hang on. This year is the year of taking your ground. It's the year. We're going to come into agreement.
Yes, sir.
This generation's coming home. We have seen tens of thousands come home. We see the scars disappear off gutters in our services. We see them come running in. You got to sow.
Yes.
You got to sow. Well, let's come into agreement for these families.
I want you to go to your phone right now. 888-988-1588. We are going to pray over your family. I think we should go to a song if we can, Tammy. Is that all right?
Yes.
We go to a song, and then we shall give you time to go to your phone. I am believing God right now that someone is going to give a major gift. In the last 24 hours, we've had two people give $10,000. But I know I'm talking to someone that money is not your issue. You've got enough money. You can't even think how much money you have. But money can't buy you love.
That's right.
Money can't buy you peace. And money can bring your family home.
Hallelujah.
That's the mercy and grace of God.
That's it.
I'm challenging you to move from watching this program. Just use your cell phone. Reach out and dial the number 888-988-1588. And tell the phone operator, we are standing with Jim and Lori Baker. This is my earnest money for household salvation. I am putting a deposit in the bank that God will see that I am serious. I'm as serious as anything I've ever been serious about my family coming home. That old prodigal father stood there waiting for months, maybe years, looking for his boy to come home.
Yes.
And when no one else was watching, the father was watching. And I believe right now that the father is calling your son and daughter out of a pig pen.
Right.
Your grandkids that
they're
are
in the pig pen
astonishing
yourself.
You with what they live and how they speak and how they act. And it's just, it's like you don't even know who they are because it's a different world we live in. And you go to bed at night and you cry and say, God, what's happening to my family? I'm getting old and I don't want to leave them like this. I don't know what to do. are my kids, my grandkids. I challenge you to go to your phone and say, I'm going to do something positive.
We'll be right back.
Do something positive, yet turn you off. Despicable human. Philip Cameron, if you're listening, you need to get saved. You need to repent. That was disgusting. Earnest money. You have to give God earnest money. Jim Baker, too, you have sunk to a new low. A new low. Christ shed his blood on the cross for our salvation, for our household salvation, and you're going to sell it for a lousy $1,000 or $100,000 or whatever? You prey upon the misery of others? Despicable. You know what? You think that Jim Baker would have learned his lesson after 5 years in a federal penitentiary? 5 years! He had plenty of time to think about God and think about what he was doing. But he comes back, and what does he do? He goes right back into the slop. Right back. A fool. He's a fool. I'm going to read some scriptures, and then I'm going to play the rest of this audio for you. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 13. But there was a certain man called Simon, Philip Cameron, Jim Baker, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of the United States, but it says Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. You need to get saved. Jim Baker, are you saved? That's what I want to know. Are you saved? I really question it, because how dare you fail household salvation to build a ministry? It is really bad. It is really bad. Acts 16:16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, and I'm going to say Jim Baker and Philip Cameron, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And that's what this is. This is nothing but ordinary witchcraft and soothsaying. I have to give God earnest money? Earnest money. I never heard that one before. That's a new one for me. I never heard that one before. Notice the subtle art of manipulation of Philip Cameron. I believe there's a businessman out there. You have plenty of money. Yeah, and I'm not going to give it to you either. I'm not going to give it to you. A certain man, a certain businessman with money out there. Yeah, well, most businessmen have money. That's why they're in business. So that's no word of knowledge. There's a certain businessman out there, and I believe you can give a good gift, a big gift, because, you know, you have your son on drugs. And yeah, okay, his son is on drugs, but I guess he's miserable about it. Who wants their kid on drugs? Nobody. So what would be the godly thing to tell that person? The godly thing to tell that person would be, let's pray, let's believe God to send laborers, we pray ye the Lord of the harvest, to send laborers to them. That's the godly thing to say not give a big financial seed to that dopey ministry, so-called, that you have over there. Look, go off the air. Do the world a favor and go away. Repent or go away. Because now Jim claims that he has a school there. He has a school, and they're actually training up young people, and they adopted five children. He adopted five of these children that so-called they picked up from the ghetto there in California. And he has two children of his own, biological children that he had with Tammy. The one son is a universalist. He doesn't believe in hell. He doesn't believe Jesus is the only way. He's Jay Baker, Jim's son. And now he's got his daughter, Tammy Sue, hosting these telethons. And Tammy Sue, you know what happened to your parents back in the 1980s. You were old enough to remember it. You want to see your father go down the same road again? And you're participating in this so-called telethon selling household salvation? And you think that's okay? Ugh. I can't believe people. I don't believe it. Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And that's what this is. Wizards. Familiar spirits. Saying, come on, I can show you how I can show you the way. I can show you how to get some money. I can show you how to get some miracles. Here's an altar. They had this crazy guy there. I never heard of the guy. Pat Scheitzline or something. Never heard of the guy. And he claims, and you'll hear it on the audio, he claims that a few years ago he was broke. About 3 years ago, so him and his wife were saying, we're tired of living in lack. Yeah, you're tired of living in lack. So then he starts scamming people. And then he comes on the so-called telethon. And he said, I built Jim Baker an altar. And he built this little wooden stool or whatever, and they call it an altar. So now they built this altar. It's nothing but a brazen altar of idolatry. Yeah. That's what it is. It's one of those Buddhist altars, you know, that they have in these crazy temples in India and foreign countries where they have to go to the temple. They have to lay flowers down and money down and candy down to appease their God. It's the same thing. Same thing. They built this altar, and then they want you to send your prayer request in. They're going to put your prayer request on the altar with you. And don't forget to bring your money. Oh, ridiculous. Anyway, I'm going to play this audio for you so you can hear it yourself, okay?
Devil going to take your family away or your business away right to the point where you know God is in it and it's time for the harvest of your life, and the devil just showed up. That's what happened to Gideon and the people of Israel. And God chose a man that said, I am going to take this people down. And you know the story. They won the battle. They wanted him. It was so big, they wanted to make Gideon king. He went from the lowest to the highest through obedience and a single gift. 300 people watching me right now are going to make a step of faith. You may have never given $1,000 in your life before. In the name of Jesus, it is going to happen today, because you need a Gideon-sized miracle in your life. You need those that are stealing from your family. The Bible says they took away sheep. Sheep is your clothing and your food. The ox was the tractors that plowed the land and made them survive. And the donkey was their transportation to get them from where they were to where they needed to be. The devil will paralyze you in your need so that you have nowhere to go. It seems that every door is closed. It seems there's no way out. And that is when you better have a sacrifice waiting and left in your world.
Yikes. This guy, Philip Cameron, you better get saved. 300 people. Yeah. 300 people to give $1,000. Wow. $300,000 just like that. 300 people. Yeah, the Lord told them, he says. Yeah, your Lord, the devil, your Lord, because my Lord never talks like that. My Lord, the real Jesus Christ, no, he doesn't talk like that. No, your Lord does. Oh, you have to make a sacrifice. You need a Gideon miracle. a Gideon miracle. And they just, oh. And people are stealing from you. Yeah, you're stealing from the people. You're the biggest thief going. You and Jim Baker. Two thieves. Talk about stealing. And putting it in a religious context and calling it Christian television. It's ridiculous. You don't have to buy anything from God. You don't have to buy anything from God. Remember, giving is not about giving money to God, because God doesn't need any money. He never gets it. The pastor gets it, or the ministry gets it. When you give money, you're giving it to a human. And the reason we give to people is because we love them. That's why we give to them, because we love them and we want to help them. We don't give because we want something back. We don't give it to God to get something back. That's not Christian. Anyway, let me play a few more of these audios.
So the angel went to the lowest of the low in all of Israel and said, "You're a mighty man of valor." And listen to the key. The Bible says that Gideon said to the angel, "Don't you leave until I make a sacrifice." Now listen, the Bible tells us about this time of the season of Israel. There was no sheep, there was no oxen, there were no donkeys. Everything had been eaten because of a famine. There was no food left. And yet when the angel came to Gideon had an offering. Gideon had a kid. And he had chosen to keep the kid for a sacrifice rather than eat what belonged to God. And the Bible says that the angel sat while Gideon made his offering. And while the whole nation, how many times did Gideon go to the back door with a knife in his hand and said, "I've got to kill it"? And how many times did he lift up the goat by the chin to cut his throat and something say, "This is not yours, this is not yours, this is not yours, this is not yours"? And he went back into the house hungry, wanting it for himself. But he didn't realize that there was an angel on his way to Gideon's door. And I'm prophesying to you right now in the name of Jesus that there's an angel on his way to your door. You are about to have a divine visitation by God. Let me tell you something. You've got to have a sacrifice ready for when the angel shows up. God demands from us these things. This is not about money. This is about the attitude of your heart. And the Bible says that he brought forth his gift and he laid it at the angel's feet, and the angel saw the sacrifice, and that's what qualified Gideon to be a mighty man of valor. And you know the story. He chose 32,000, and God says, "There's too many. Send all the ones that are scared home." And 12,000 disappear. And then he says, "That's still too many. Make them drink by the brook." He ended up with 300 men.
Wow.
Against the armies of the enemy that were seeking every time they came, the Amalekites, to the Amalekites came, and they stripped the land at the point of harvest. They came, you see, you can come and take my seed away, and I can get more seed and put it in the ground and get a harvest. But if you take my harvest away, I'm going to have to wait another season to come around again for season for harvest. And the enemy always shows up at your harvest point, not your seed point. Because he doesn't just frustrate your harvest.
anger. And every time they were about to have a harvest, are you at that point right now? Is the devil going to take your family away or your business away, right at the point where you know God is in it and it's time for the harvest of your life, and the devil just showed up? That's what happened to Gideon and the people of Israel. And God chose a man that said, I am going to take this people down. And you know the story. They won the battle. They wanted him. It was so big, they wanted to make Gideon king. He went from the lowest to the highest through obedience and a single gift. 300 people watching me right now are going to make a step of faith. You may have never given $1,000 in your life before. In the name of Jesus, it is going to happen today, because you need a special, you need a Gideon-sized miracle in your life. You need those that are stealing from your family. The Bible says they took away sheep. Sheep is your clothing and your food. The ox was the tractors that plowed the land and made them survive. And the donkey was their transportation to get from where they were to where they needed to be. The devil will paralyze you in your need so that you have nowhere to go. It seems that every door is closed. It seems there's no way out. And that is when you better have a sacrifice waiting and left in your world so that there's enough faith to say, well, I can give that to God, then that's the miracle happening.
Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. I couldn't even think this stuff up in my natural mind. But these people like Philip Cameron, and these are all clips from this recent so-called telethon that they were doing over at Jim Baker's ministry while he was on vacation. He was on vacation for 3 weeks, and he left these people in charge. And they said they were going to do a good old-fashioned telethon like they used to do in the CBN days. Well, because the food selling and whatever he was doing wasn't working because he's building. So he's building so much that he has to keep getting more and more money. And he wouldn't need so much money if he wasn't doing all this excessive building. He's like obsessed with building. He's obsessed with building the new PTL. And so this guy, Philip Cameron, now imagine he takes his Bible out and he spends hours upon hours digging out these scriptures, trying to figure out ways to manipulate people to get them to give by telling them they have to give a sacrifice. And you're at the lowest point in your life. Yeah, well, when somebody's at a low point in their life, why do they need to turn you on and you're just going to beat them down more and put them in more debt by borrowing money that they don't have to give to God, supposedly, which is going to Jim Baker? And the last time I checked, Jim Baker wasn't God. Despicable. This is despicable. Ugh, I couldn't believe it. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Proverbs 29:11, fool. And that's what you are, Philip Cameron and Jim Baker and Lori Baker and Tammy Sue Baker and Mondo and the rest of you over there. You're acting like a bunch of fools. Stupid people. It's stupid. Proverbs 29:11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Proverbs 1:7. And this is a good one for you all over there at Morningside. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Oh, honest. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Fools. Fools. And this is another one for the body of Christ. Proverbs 15:7. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Don't believe everything they're telling you. Don't believe what they're telling you, because it's all lies. And who is the father of lies? Who is their father? I have a few more audio clips I want you to hear for yourself, because there's Jim Baker talking. Jim Baker talking on some of these, so I want you to hear it.
They stole my ministry from me the last time I left the show. This time I think I almost lost everything here, but I'm back and I'm taking over. So I'm thrilled with what the kids did.
So
I left it in charge of my daughters and my sons and our family and the students, and they set a goal. I didn't set the goals. All I said was, let's do a telethon like we used to do at CBN in the old days. And if I could tell you some of the people we met, I don't have time. It's been insane. It's just insane. Everywhere we go, God sends us the people of God to meet in the streets and whatever. And God is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing what
is
happening.
The Bible says that honor your mother and father, right? And our way to honor you is to show you that everything that you've invested in us, we put it out there. Scriptures, stories, letting people know that they can support the ministry. So this is us honoring you guys back on what you've been teaching us.
What was the goal of you guys set?
We set $2.5 million.
For these kids to raise $2.5 million, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. For me to raise, that's a lot of money. And that's about what it takes to really operate, but to get caught up. And the last I looked, they're almost there.
Almost.
They're over 2 million.
We can do it.
Over 2 million. I know that. So, and I want to thank everybody that's given.
Yeah.
And I think actually today we could put it over the top. It's just a little bit to go.
Yeah.
The thing is, to have kids take over, we have people on television that have never been on television.
No.
Never really did anything that long, especially on television. And to take over for how many hours did you guys figure out it was? It was 24 hours a day.
24 hours a day.
For 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Zach, you were there. You're one of the kids.
I was. I'm on my calculator right now trying to figure out. So we did 24 times 21. That's 504 hours.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Wow. And the thing is, when you all that have been watching and supporting and giving, to look beyond our faults and see our needs.
Right.
To look beyond their kids. And all I've done my whole life is train kids. We've trained up most of the kids that are now old people running Christian television.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, kids do grow up.
I was talking to someone recently, and I was just telling them, I got here whenever I was 18 years old, about 2 months.
Isn't that all?
There's
a warfare going on, people, in this country, and it's for the very soul of America.
That's right.
And it's time we keep standing up.
And so
Michael Prince, by the way, just got back from Russia.
Crimea. Wow. That was there a month ago.
So maybe you could solve the Russian problem for us.
No, sir. No, only God can do that.
That's right.
But Russia's on fire. Churches are being planted. We've gone from 61 churches in 1991 to 3,100 registered churches, 1,100 unregistered churches, and we're planting between 300 and 500.
I wasn't going to say anything today. I'm holding it back, but I just want to say one word. The warfare in the church is going to grow like never before. And if church people don't get right with God, we're going to see a holocaust in the church. There's fighting going on right now among some of the major ministers of America. And I'm not supposed to say anything about that because you don't air your dirty linens, as they say. But I want to tell you what. I'm watching people undermine some of the most awesome men of God that I know. I know one ministry, people just stole, just like they did mine, stole his ministry. Stole the building, stole everything. And nobody did a thing. Nobody lifted a finger to stop it. I'm telling you, God spoke to me, the warfare will be in the church, and it already is in the church. It's already happening. And it's time for the church to get back to God in unity and harmony.
Yeah.
A church can't stand that's divided. A house can't stand that's divided. And God wants to send the greatest revival.
Yeah.
It's souls winning time.
Yeah.
Oh, that is pathetic, isn't it? That is, he says that people stole his ministry, and now people are stealing ministries. Well, the Bible also says you reap what you sow. When you're a thief yourself, selling miracles that are freely given by God just for the asking, then you're going to reap what you sow, unfortunately. Unfortunately, you will reap. That's one case, Will, where you will reap what you sow. Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." I don't know, like Philip Cameron, didn't you read that scripture there? You didn't read that scripture? Jim Baker, you didn't read that scripture? You thought the gift of God could be purchased with money? And then you say that, oh, you're training up young people and you went on vacation for 3 weeks and you left your ministry with your kids. That's how you trained up your kids? My mother and father were factory workers. They didn't train my brother and I to behave like that. And you're supposed to be a seasoned minister. My parents never read the Bible, really. They never really knew God. They had a form of religion when we grew up. But they were decent people. They weren't dreaming up ways to scam people out of money. They got up in the morning and went to work every day for 45 years to factories. And they certainly didn't teach their children to be thieves either. Despicable. And you call it a ministry and a training center? Please, don't go there. Don't go there to Morningside. Don't go there. And I hope, Jim, I hope you listen to this and take heed. Remember what it was like sitting in that lousy prison cell? Remember the smells? And the sounds. Remember what it was like? Remember what it was like? The pig pen, the slop bucket? Why would you want that again when you can have the blessings of God? I don't understand it. Tammy Sue, Jim's daughter, why? Why would you want to see your father go through that again? And you're the one that was heading up this so-called telethon for 3 weeks, doing the scamming, watching the millions pour in. I don't get you people. Here's another audio of Jim saying he got prophecies.
It's called heritage.
Yes.
I have a heritage. Some of you want me to die. Some of you want me to go away. But I have a heritage. I'm here preaching on television because God called me. The prophet laid hands on me and said I would go where no man had ever gone before. I wrote the prophecies all down on this trip. And I won't preach them today, but I'm going to tell you some of the things that God is doing. But then Lori is in on this stream of blood, the bloodline that comes from the Barnetts, that comes from Dad Barnett.
Yes.
Comes from, and then, so Lori starts going out to the ghetto.
Yeah, Jim, you got prophecies. Yeah, you got prophecies. You got prophecies. And God put you on television. Yeah, God put you on television to do this? No, he didn't put you on television to do this. No. Not God. Not the God I know. No. The God I know would put you on television and tell you, okay, raise the money for our ministry, and here's what we need. And if you want to send money in, send money in. But we're not promising you anything. It's a gift. That's what a gift is. You give somebody a gift, you don't expect anything in return. When I give people gifts, I don't expect anything in return because I'm giving a gift. But I certainly wouldn't tell people that, give me some money, and because you give me some money, the great Jim Baker, then God is going to give you household salvation. He's going to give you miracles. He's going to get your kids off drugs. He's going to do all that. What? And then you want to say, God put you there? No, God didn't put you there. No. No. Not God. Not the God I know.
Comes the victory. And I believe with all my heart right now that you are the point of your miracle, that you are the point of your breakthrough, and that phone number is your contact with us right here now. 888-988-1588. And I'm believing, God, as you are going to your phone, that you are saying, Philip, I can feel something I haven't felt in a long time. All day yesterday, we get your reports back. Man, there's revival at PTL. There's revival at Morningside. God's doing something spectacular there. And I'm telling you why. Because the cloud, the rain, has started to fall again in Morningside. The rain, the winter, the storm, all of the stuff of the past. And the sun is breaking through into a new day. And I believe with all my heart that God has something spectacular for you if you'll only rise up through your doubt and say yes to God. We are in a one-hour challenge to have $100,000 come in, and you are part of that miracle. We believe that there are many eyes already today will give that $1,000 gift. Nothing moves this thing forward to victory quicker than that $1,000 gift, and you can do that right now. 888-988-1588. But I believe there are hundreds, I believe there are thousands of people who love Jim and who love Lori, and who have seen the battle they've gone through, especially Jim with the South, are going to say, we are going to redeem this situation. We're going to reverse this curse. We're going to stand and make the sunshine and the victory come again, and the glory of God will be made manifest in this place. Let me tell you something. God has a miracle in his hand for you. But you have a miracle in your hand for God. And whenever you act in faith, whenever you stand up and say, God, I don't know what's going to happen in my situation. I don't know what's going to happen with my family, but you're the only hope I have. I don't know what's going to happen in my body, but I got nowhere else to turn but you. I don't know what's happening in my business, but the best I can ever do is invest in the kingdom of God, because there it's pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I challenge you right now, go to your phone and say, Philip, I want to help Jim, and I want to help Lori, and I want to help Morningside catch up on this deficit and make this the thing that the devil tried to choke us with into the platform through which we will speak to the generation that's coming ahead of us. I decree that 2017 will be a year of anointing and blessing in America. We will not die. We are going to live in the name of Jesus. Do you hear me? This is your moment. I challenge you right now to invite God into your moment. And God will turn a moment into a miracle.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. 888-988-1588. Mondo.
I got a scripture. We're talking about restoration. This is a restoration marathon, telethon. And I'm going to tell you what I know. There's people out there right now watching that you're being restored in. But after you have suffered a little while. A little while, the God of all grace, the God of all, doesn't say a little bit. The God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory through Christ Jesus, will restore. There's that word. And he will not only restore, but he will support,
He will strengthen and He will establish you.
That's exactly right.
Do you believe that? Do you stand on that today?
That's the word.
That's the word of God right there. That is 1 Peter 5:10. You need to mark it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mark it right now. Amen.
Sister, while you're speaking that word, people are still calling in. They are answering the call to say, this is all I have in my hand. I want to give it to you, Pastor Jim and Lori. I want to give it to the ministry. Las Vegas, Pam, thank you for your $500 donation. San Luis, $1,000, San Luis!
Woo!
This is the restoration marathon hour. This is the very moment that God has created you for. If you wonder what your purpose is to be a part of this restoration right now.
Yes, amen.
At this very moment, Tammy Sue just spoke that scripture into existence in your life.
Yeah.
You see, the Bible says that it is better to give than it is to receive. The moment you give, you activate the power of God. The moment you give, the very moment restoration begins to take place. The moment you pick up that phone right now, you are saying to yourself, I'm no longer going to live in the past. I'm looking to the future. I'm looking for the now, and I want my restoration today.
Yes.
Not what you don't have. It's what you have in your hand.
We will be right back after this.
Oh, dear. Help! Help! Now, at the end, you hear this Spanish-sounding guy, Mondo, who used to be a gang member, and he got saved, supposedly, and then he's been trained up by Jim. Yikes. I mean, Mondo, you haven't read your Bible either, have you? I don't think so. What? Activate God, activate what? With money, we activate God. Now, can you imagine a holy God, holy, holy, holy God, sitting on his throne next to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they see people going to the telephone. Now, you have to go to your telephone to activate this miracle, see? They see people going to their phone, dialing 888 and giving money over there. And then all of a sudden, you know, their God now, their God, jumps off the throne and he goes and he gets some money somewhere. I don't know where he gets it because he doesn't have any up there. Our God doesn't have money in heaven. He never needed any money to do anything. But supposedly now, what does he do, God? Their God, what does he do? He jumps off his throne, and then he goes into some bank in heaven, and then he rains the money down. You know, he opens up the windows of heaven, and he pours out a blessing, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'll tell you how to get your finances activated. Get a job. That's how you get your finances activated. You need to pay your debts. Don't make debts. Okay, don't make debts you can't pay. Most people have debts because they overspend, they buy things they can't afford, then they can't pay the people back, then they want a debt cancellation, so then God, their God is supposed to rob the bank and rob the credit card companies and rob their friends and rob everybody of the money that you owe so you can get a debt cancellation. Yeah, now, our God, our holy God, is supposed to be into debt cancellation. He robs people to pay your bills. Robin Hood, right? Robin Hood. That's the God that they're talking about. That's the God that they're talking about. They're not talking about the God that I know. The God that I know says if you don't work, you don't eat. The God I know says, owe no man anything but to love him. My God says the borrower is servant to the lender. You're the servant to the lender. You have to work for the lender. That's why people have financial problems for the most part. Okay, sometimes they go through sickness or they lose their job or whatever. They have legitimate financial problems. But if you won't work You're not going to eat. You're not going to pay your rent. You won't. No matter what kind of a job you have to take until you can get the job you really want, take it. At least you can pay your bills. It'll get better. It'll get better. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And apparently that's what's happened to Jim Baker. That's what's happened. He is a man possessed with rebuilding PTL and his television network, and he'll go to any length to do it. And it's a very sad commentary. And let me tell you something, Jim Baker, history won't look good for you. History will not look good for you if you continue down this path, because it is a slippery slope into apostasy. It is a slippery slope into becoming a reprobate when you no longer hear the voice of God. You want to hear a prophecy? Serve God. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal in the name of Jesus. Don't do it. You want a television network? You want a ministry? You're a smart man. You know how to build. You know how to get things done. But this is not the way. This is what got you in trouble back in 1987 and what landed you in a federal penitentiary for 5 years, probably wearing an orange jumpsuit, not the tailor-made suit you were used to wearing. I hope you take heed today. Jim Baker, Lori Baker, you're his wife. Why do you allow your husband, the husband that you supposedly love, to behave in such a manner, and you're watching him on the road to destruction and laughing all the way to the bank because you have everything you want, don't you? You have everything you've ever wanted, money, fame. Is it worth it? No. It's not worth it. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Oh, but after the season is over, I wouldn't want to be there. I don't want to be there to watch what's going to happen. It's not going to be pretty. I remember the day that they went and put handcuffs on Jim Baker. They handcuffed him and took him to prison. He was dressed in a tie and a suit. He had his suit jacket off. He was wearing a white shirt, I remember, and a tie. And they had handcuffs on him. They one agent at each side of him, under each arm, carrying him away as he was sobbing. And we were sobbing, the body of Christ, we were sobbing right along with him. And yet, after all that, he's back doing the same thing. Oh, is there any hope? Well, some of us know better. Some of us know better. And we're not going to fall for it. Now, I hope somebody gives him this program to listen to. I really do. Stay away from those false prophets that come on your television show. You don't need them. Stay away from them. Stay away from the man that flatters with his lips. Stay away from them, the people that call you a great man and all that. Stay away from them. You're nothing. We're nothing without Jesus. We're nothing. Nothing. All you have is a microphone and a Bible, and that should be enough. I hope you repent, Jim Baker. I hope you repent. And Lori Baker and Tammy Sue Baker and the rest of the people over there. I hope you repent. And another despicable thing that Philip Cameron said, and I don't have that audio, but he was telling widows, you widows out there, you know you lost your husband, you don't have that much money, and telling them to sow a seed. And Jesus talked about people like you robbing widows' houses. It's not going to end pretty. It is not going to end pretty. No. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Ye cannot. Well, I hope this program was a blessing to you today, and let it be a lesson for all of us to remember the goodness of God, how God was so good to us that he led us by his Holy Spirit to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how the Lord Jesus Christ picked us up out of the slop, out of the mire. He picked us up and he saved us. He gave us a brand new life. He gave us a brand new life. Old things passed away, and behold, all things became new. Remember? Remember the day we were born again? How could we ever forget it? How could we ever forget the goodness of God to us, the mercy of God, the grace of God? And how could we take that and sell it? Oh, God help us. I'll tell you, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. The church is in trouble. They talk about revival. There's not going to be a revival. A revival of what? Babylon? That's about what kind of a revival they're having. This whole Babylon system. Jezebel and Ahab. That's a revival they're having. We need a reformation. We're still reforming this church. That's what we need. We need a reformation of people to study the Word of God and know the Word of God and do what's right in the sight of the Lord. Because we all realize, all of us realize that we're sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. But don't take the gospel and use it as a way to manipulate people to get what you want. Don't do it. God will give you freely all things just for the asking. He wants you to have a ministry. He will give you a ministry. He will get you the money to get the ministry. If you need to buy a piece of land, or you need to buy a building, or you need to buy a television network, or you need to buy a radio network, or you need to buy a computer or a microphone, the Lord in his goodness and mercy provided a new microphone for me for my broadcast so that I can make the broadcast better. It was God. I didn't have to ask anybody for it. God knows what we need even before we ask. Even when we were going to do this radio broadcast, I felt like the Lord wanted me to go on radio, and I thought, I don't know how I'm going to go on radio because it's expensive. Long ago, it was very expensive to be on any kind of radio. But the Lord brought this Blog Talk Radio to me, and every month I can go on, and it doesn't cost a large amount of money. We don't have a big budget, but we're able to preach the gospel and to get the word out. And God has blessed it. And we have never once taken up an offering or asked anybody for anything. So if anybody wants a ministry, just go do it. Just go do it. And God will bless it. He will bless it. Seek first the kingdom and all the other things will be added unto you. Anyway, that's the broadcast for today. But I want to remind my listeners that aren't born again, Jesus said in the third chapter of John, and please read it, that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, then ye must be born again of the Spirit of God. Read the book of Romans today. Read the whole book of Romans. The book of Romans says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall be saved. Repent of your sins. We've all sinned. Repent of your sins, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Give your life to Jesus Christ today. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. He will. Jesus is real. He is a real person. He was born of a virgin. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven in a body. He's real. He's there. And he's coming again. And all we have to do is ask him for help, and he will help us. Every time, he will help us. God is real. All right, everybody, thank you so much for coming by today. I appreciate it. Sorry about the sound thing. I was using a different computer, and apparently it didn't hook up the microphone correctly, but we'll get it right next week. Anyway, thanks, everybody. Thanks for being so patient, and have a blessed day.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.